I would like to read with you or to you from a book in the Old Testament called Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. If you don't have your Bible, that's all right. I'll just read to you. If you have it, you can read with me. Isaiah chapter 28. If you don't have a Bible in your house, like we've been hearing, we'll give you one. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 20. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. Now let me read that verse, which I think is very unique, to you again. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. Now, back to the book of Judges. That's just back in your Old Testament before Samuel. Is the book of Judges in chapter 5. Joshua, then Judges chapter 5. And verse 26, Judges 5 and verse 26. She put forth her hand, and that's referring to this woman called Jael, just above, earlier there in verse 24, it says, blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Canaanite, be. Now verse 26, here's what she did to an enemy of God's people. She put forth her hand to the nail, and her right hand to the workman's hammer, and with the hammer she smote Sisera, smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed, and he fell. He lay down at her feet, he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead, or as your margin will give it, destroyed. Now here's another side to that story, what's happening at home. Verse number 28, the mother of Sisera, that's the man that's just died, looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? Now, back for a final reading, please, to Isaiah again, this time in chapter 59. Isaiah, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and Isaiah, just before Jeremiah's Isaiah. And this time it is chapter 59. And verse 1. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Now, we've been hearing already in the meeting from Lucas tonight about being saved. And it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins, not somebody else's, not your neighbor's, not the person next to you, in front of you or behind you, but your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That's all I wish to read. I'm sure from that first verse, when we're reading about a bed that is shorter than a man can stretch himself upon, you thought, what on earth is on this preacher's mind tonight to speak about a bed that is short? In my work, as a lot would note, I do a lot of traveling. I've traveled to different continents. I have traveled to many, many parts of the United States and Canada. Stayed in many, many homes. I've never been in a home where I haven't been welcomed, and people haven't warmly invited me and looked after me to the best of their ability. But you can appreciate, not every home is the same, and not every bed is the same. And just short the story, a little earlier this year I was invited to a large Christian convention. I stayed with these people. They're good friends of mine. They are Oriental people, maybe their lifestyle and their home would be just quite the same as mine, and they took me to the bedroom. I always said as long as the house had wireless, I didn't care what the bed was like, but I had to change my mind. Nice room. They showed me what was the bed, and it was it depends on what part of the country you live in, they call it a futon or a futon, but it looked like all those three-sided metal, looked like a big bed for a dog. And on that bed was a comforter, which I wasn't convinced of by morning, and a pillow.
was my bed.
There's only one difficulty. That comforter was about 5'5", without any exaggeration. And I'm just a shade under 6 feet. You see, it wasn't all that short. But it was short enough to make that a very long night. No matter what way I slept in that bed, it always came up short. Either my feet were freezing or my head was. I pushed it at one end, it came on the other. And worse than that, it wasn't much this way either. And it was one night to fight with what they call a comforter. And there was one thing wrong with it. It was short. It was a long night. Night number two, I asked the lady if she had another blanket. Oh, she says, you weren't warm. I said, no. I said, it was fine, but give me another blanket. She gave me another blanket, so we made do and got through the second night. Isn't it amazing the Bible talks about that? Talks about a bed. Do you know, I want to point out from this verse that if you're not saved tonight, without even knowing your first or your last name, without knowing where you worked or where you haven't worked, who you know and who you don't know, if you are not saved, as we've been hearing, your life constantly will come up short. There isn't a pleasure out there that will fill your heart, that will make you comfortable. Now, this is the prophet that speaks to these. You see, this prophet really speaking to a people, and they were trying to let on to God, hey, it's fine. Things are good. Life is good. But God knew different. And that's why in chapter 4 he says, speak ye comfortably to my people. Comfort ye, he saith my God to this people. My friend, I've heard preachers sometimes say that God doesn't want people happy and he doesn't want them comfortable. Well, that's not what the Bible says. I think already referred to or inferred was Matthew 11:28, where the Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor. That was a long night. I worked hard that night and got nowhere. Because I couldn't stretch what I had. And you see, that's exactly what happens in this world tonight. Matters not what it is. People constantly come up short. Some of you know a man I preach a lot with, Mr. Scott McLeod. A lot of you wouldn't remember Scott in his early days. Scott had life made, so he thought. Graduated from high school, top marks, brilliant man. Got on with Island Tell, top job. He could have gone, and I'm saying this because Scott isn't here. Anybody else would tell you over the island, Scott McLeod could have gone anywhere, any position, just turned him down. Because he didn't want something that was going to consume a life that he enjoyed as a Christian. But prior to being a Christian, when he got that big job, new pickup. A disc jockey of one of the top, if not the top, nightclubs in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. I remember seeing come into gospel meetings, long black hair down to his shoulder blades, worked out, big, strong Scott McLeod. And there wasn't enough arms and necks to put chains on. He had chains all over the place. I don't remember that. I asked him where they went. He said, I don't know where they went. But he would tell you, as he's likely told you standing on this platform, if a world up there would it not satisfy a man with a new motorcycle in the garage? A new pickup to drive to work? And one of the top jobs that anybody would want at Island Tell? And on the weekends, the nightclub. Knew everybody. Everybody wanted to go everywhere with them. You know what he used to say? He said, I used to look at my father. I'd come home in the early hours of the meeting, in the morning. My dad was going off to remember the Lord. I thought, oh, poor guy. You know, he says, one day I woke up. My friend in the meeting tonight, that's going to be in the second part that we read. That's your trouble tonight. You're fast asleep. The man that we read about in the second passage, that was his difficulty, was sleeping. When he should have been wide awake, when his life was at stake, when his whole future was on the line, he was sleeping. He should have been awakened. But coming back to this one here, I want you to think of that, just that statement. In fact, I've read three things tonight. Let me just give you how I link them together. First of all, we read about something that's too short. It was too short. This bed was too short. Then we read, secondly, about something that was too long. Here's a very anxious mother, like any mother would be anxious for a son she loved. And so she looks through the lattice of the window and she says, why tarry the wheels of his chariot? What's happened? And as time went on, as any parent does, you start to think the worst. And whatever the worst was that she thought, she was right. She'd never see that boy again. I pick up the newspaper like you do, right in our province. Two people would die here just on the weekend, Saturday afternoon, head-on collision. Somebody was expecting them to come home. Somewhere there was a table set where there was a place for them to eat. Somewhere there was a bed they were expected to sleep in. They didn't make it. As we've been clearly hearing from Luke tonight, some night you won't make it. Other people drive your car. Other old people live in your house, because you're living in somebody else's house, likely. They're gone. Where are you going? So we read something about that was too short. Then we read about something that was too long. Well, I want to conclude tonight by telling you about something that is neither too short or too long. It's just the right length. You know what that is? It's an arm that can save anybody in this meeting tonight. Here's what it says. Isaiah chapter 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. Behold, the Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God, and your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you. So we're back to what we've been hearing. That's the problem tonight. It is your sin. Now, I talked to men in this town of Sussex. I was speaking to them as friends of mine, people I've come to know, and I taught them about their sin. They go, what? Sin? I go, here. Everybody does it. No, everybody doesn't do it. Sorry. Let me ask you tonight, what's your bed like? No, my friend, listen. It wouldn't be hard to fool me. You can't fool God tonight. Listen, there's a man by the name of Solomon. And when it come to anything, he had it. When it come to wisdom, when it come to wealth, when it come to property and possessions and livestock. And at the end of the life, in the palace in which he lived, the halls reverberate with an echo of emptiness. And he says, all is empty. Life is empty. A couple of boys were with me the other night. We were going down to the airport, fly out to Sydney. We went by Irving Oil. Big new hangar. Well, a lot of people know the Irvings have divided up the goods. There's now Irving Oil's hangar at one end of the St. John Airport. And there's J.D. Irving's hangar that's been there for the last 15 years at the other end. There is a reception area in there. That's amazing. You know how wide that reception area is? Actually, it has a secure power door that the Irvings don't have to get out of the car to go to the airplane. They can drive in there, park their car. They don't always have chauffeurs. Get out of their car in that reception area, walk out into a heated hangar, and aboard any of their jets and go anywhere. Where I fly out of, Atlantic Flight Center called down and said, hey, you know, we'd like to plow the snow in front of your hangar. I said, thanks very much. They said, well, you know, we do it for J.D. Irving hangar. I said, yeah, you don't need to in ours. The whole ramp, that's the area in front of the hangar, it's all heated. I sure snow will never be there. What do you say? That's any pilot's dream. That's any aircraft operator's dream. When I was training, I can remember when KC was living, Bill Gresham and I would be huddling together in a four-cylinder Cessna 172 freezing to death. And we would hear the clearance. We would hear KC's jet getting the clearance for Bermuda, Hamilton, Bermuda. And you hear this clearance come something like this. ATC clears. You know, it used to be Kilo Charlie India, KCI, to the Hamilton, Bermuda airport via jetway 427 to Boston direct. Bill Gresh used to poke me and say, that you wish you were going. You know the truth about this? I did. I wished I was going. Where's Casey Irving tonight? I don't know. I'm not here to judge him or you. As you and Harry, there's no three places. It's And everybody here tonight, my friend, you may never fly a corporate jet or fly in one. You may never reach the financial status of Irvings. Who cares? But I'm going to tell you tonight, what I know of their lives is what the Bible tells me. It doesn't matter what they say. I've met a lot of wealthy people in my time. I've met people that have made it life. And life is empty. Their bed is one of shortness. No, there is something. Come on. It's amazing how it says here. I was thinking about this earlier today. The bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself about. Hey, come on, fellas. There's something nice about the end of the day, no matter what covenant it is, just to stretch out on it. And the comfort of a blanket that'll cover you. You don't have to fight with it all night. I meet a lot of religious people in my day. Everything gets up short. That's why they're irritated when you start to speak to them about being saved. I can speak to the average person about being saved. Yeah, okay, there's maybe a nominal interest, but they don't get angry about it. But you take a religious person, they're already mad. Because they're very committed to their church. Not putting down their churches, okay? But this idea of being saved and being saved from your sin that the Bible talks about that they think you just major on down the gospel hall just irritates them. You know why? Because no matter what kind of an effort they put into religion, always comes up short. My friend, religion won't keep you out of hell. Christ will. Now here's what he says. The bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself upon. Do you know something? Let me just give it a real application tonight. The night that I trusted Christ as my Savior, as Luke did and some others in the meeting tonight, I simply stretched myself upon the work of Christ. I just rested upon what God had done in giving His Son at Calvary so I could be saved. Now, my own efforts would always come up short. I would be like Adam. I mean, there's Adam in the garden. The garden obviously came up short for Adam. So what would he want when what wasn't his? Now, that's another story. That's another kind of a bed. That's called the adulterous bed. That's called the bed of wickedness. That's why Hebrews chapter 11 says the marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but the whoremonger God will utterly judge. But you know, there's something about, you know, a preacher's used, maybe we've overworked, maybe we've worn it out. And they'll say something like this. I don't know if people know what they mean by that. But laying your head upon a pillow and not worrying about where you're going to be. No, that's true. There's just something nice about that. Just being able to rest on what you've got. Let me ask you, what's your bed like? Don't know what kind of house you live in. Doesn't matter. You know, I'm not really talking about what you are retired to for the night. I am talking tonight. Spiritually speaking, what are you resting on for eternity? If you had to die tonight, where would you be? No, no, no. I didn't ask you where do you hope to be. Where would you be? If you had to die tonight, come on, guys. You're not bulletproof. You're not invincible. They can print your obituary in Kings County Record as easily as they can print mine. Where will you be? A bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself upon it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. Okay, something that is too short. I want to speak about something that is too long. It says the mother of Sisera looked out through the window and cried through the lattice, "Why is the chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariot?" Those wheels in his life would never turn again. He'd never ride that chariot again. Here was a man, and I just give you this story. He was the enemy of God's people. He was determined to stamp out the line by which the Lord Jesus would come into the world. This man was that wicked. It was that committed to wickedness. His name was Sisera. That he went into a tent and he was hungry, he's tired. He's sleeping. There's a lady just simply took a nail and a hammer and with skill she just one whack and bang. That nail went through the temple of that man's head. An awful time to be sleeping, you'd say. You know what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5? Awake, O thou that sleepest. Awake, O thou that sleepest. I think it's time when some of you woke up tonight. Listen, I was the same way. I have a good friend of mine. In fact, I was just with him at the Cedar Falls Waterloo Conference. His name is Gary Toombs. Gary has been here to the conference. In fact, he was here with his wife and his sister and her husband last fall. They come from Kansas City, Missouri. Gary's an electrician. Good guy. There's one thing he likes. He likes his sleep. His wife was telling me about they were traveling one time, traveling with their daughter and her husband. They're in a large hotel down there in the Midwest somewhere. Fire alarm went off 4 o'clock in the morning. She says, Gary, fire alarm went off. She said, well, I'll come back and get him. She barreled down the road, Esther did 4 doors down. She bent, and by then, her daughter and her husband had the baby packed, wrapped. They were out the door. They were heading out. She runs back to her room and she says, Gary, this fire alarm's on. She says, what are you doing? He said to me, stick your head out the window to see if you see any smoke. He stayed under the covers. I know it's funny. There's a lot of people like that. When they think about hell, they think, you know, if I could just somehow, I don't want to speak irreverently to them, but if I could just smell the smoke of the place. Because the Bible says there's smoke there. There's torment there. People say, if I could just see this. Oh, my friend, the Bible says it wouldn't convince you. She says, Gary, get out of that bed. And he did. I was delivered a plane one time down to Houston, Texas, come back in Tyler. I was in a place with Tyler, Texas. Jay McMichael. Some of them know McMichaels. Jay is married to Rich Dudgeon's daughter, Phoebe. And we had overnight in Tyler, Texas, simply because of bad weather. Same thing. About 3 o'clock in the morning, off went the alarm. We're on the first floor. There's a door. And I got the door ajar because I have to have somebody ever come in the room at night. And that alarm is just blaring. And I go, I'm wide awake. I'm ready to wake up at that time in the morning. I must be around 4 o'clock or so. I look over at Michael. He's in the bed, eyes closed. I wonder what he's going to do. You know, isn't that how people come to a gospel meeting? They sit and they say, I wonder what he's going to do. I wonder what she thinks of this. Do you know something? When it comes to dying, you die alone. I looked over and I said, Jay, do you hear that? Never opened his eyes. Yeah, I said, I hear it. I says, what are your plans? He said, I'm just going to see what you're going to do. As you get out of that bed and go down and see if this is for real. I had been out and looked outside. It looked like a false alarm to me. He did. He came back and said, no, I said, they can't get the guy to shut it off. You know, a lot of people like that when it comes to the gospel. The sirens are blaring. And so there are times, not from God, when it is false alarm. Okay? Hey, wait a minute. You wake up tomorrow morning, anybody tonight, you start feeling just through your neck, you say, oh, what's that? Oh. No, can't be. What's that one? You'll see the doctor. Oh, it's just a cyst. For you, false alarm. But not for everybody. Not for everybody. Wonder when you're going to wake up. Maybe you'll wake up when it's too late. This man never woke up. There he was. Nobody's going to receive him home now. Mom could look for sis for all she wants. He's not coming. He's not coming back. My friend, we're going. None of us are coming back. I'm not coming back, neither are you. Where are you going to be? Then that brings me to the last one. I want to tell you about one that can save you. This prophet, we often call it, I've heard men, not mistakenly, and maybe in some way mistakenly, said, let's turn to the gospel of Isaiah. Isaiah is the gospel of the Old Testament. There's more gospel messages from Isaiah to these people than any other book in the Bible in the Old Testament. Here's what he says. Behold, now that word means, wait a minute. You don't have to go to hell. Hey, wait a minute. We didn't invite you to this meeting to stand here on a platform and get on it and tell you you're going to hell. We invited you to this gospel meeting to hear of what we call an exit, what the Bible calls it an exit, a way out. Your only way out is through a Savior who provided a way for you to be saved. This is what the Bible says. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. So there's nobody here tonight. I don't know how many sins or what sins you're into or have been into. I have no idea what you're doing, what you have not been doing. But I want to tell you something tonight. There's nobody here that God by His hand can't save. He's a Savior God. And He wants to save you. Not saved tonight? Do you ever think you will be? I'll be honest about it. Do you ever picture the day when you think, oh, I would be saved? Or have you just relegated that in your thinking to, that's just people that dress up and go to church? Not at all, friend. Not at all. I'm not going to heaven because I dress up and go to church. I'm not going to heaven because I preach the gospel full time. I'm going to heaven because Christ died for me. And I have been saved because there was someone that could save me. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. In other words, there is nobody in this meeting or any other meeting or never been in a meeting. There's nobody in this wide world tonight that God in His hand can't reach and save. Here's what it says. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. I can tell you more stories tonight of men that have attempted to save people, and their best effort, they failed. Think of that daring rescue up there in British Columbia a year and a half ago. Got the man into the horse collar. Lifted him from those choppy waters. The man landed on the horse collar limp as he's been hoisted into that chopper. Another man that had been out in the very freezing cold air underneath the rotor blades of that helicopter was trying to hang on to him. Had him almost up to the deck of the chopper. He lost him. Doing his best. Broke his heart. So close and yet so far. Couldn't quite reach him. I'm preaching tonight about a God that can save you from anywhere and from anything except one place. He can never reach you in hell. No salvation there, as you've been hearing clearly tonight from Lucas. And I agree with what you've already been told. It's not easy to stand here and tell you tonight from the Bible that if you're not saved, you'll be in hell. It's heartbreaking to realize that I could be looking at the faces of people eye to eye contact tonight, and you could actually be in hell. Maybe you'll never lift up your eyes. That's what it means to awake. That's what we've been hearing tonight. That's what was read to us from Luke chapter 19. And hell, he lifted up his eyes. Finally, he woke up. It's too late. Destroying a little gospel paper. Both that man that was sleeping in his boat above the Niagara Falls. Just a little, small, aluminum pleasure craft. It was a lovely warm afternoon. He was upriver. The thing come unloosed. It was making its way down the river. It was an easy flow that day. The control was light. The amount of water going into the falls is very light. It's down to a minimum. People saw it. They couldn't believe they saw a man in it. Happened back in the early 50s. They alerted the authorities. But it was getting pretty late. People were firing things, throwing things at him, throwing things over him, hollering at him. He lay back in his boat and he had his head on his own little pillow in his boat. That boat was starting to twist and turn and bounce off of the rocks and whatever. And finally the man woke up. And they saw him kind of come out of that sleep just as he got up. He's closer and he's just feet. And over that falls went that little pleasure craft with that man in it. When will you wake up? When are you going to stick your oar down and say, wait a minute. I can't go any further until I get settled where I'm going to be forever. You understand, we're not here to play church tonight. We're not here trying to give you a direction for your religious life. We're here to give you direction on the authority of the Word of God, where the Lord Jesus said, you enter at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way, which leadeth unto destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, but because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, few there be that find you, that find it. What's the verse say? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is your heavy that it cannot hear. In other words, you know what the verse is saying? Never in the day, never will come the day, never will come the moment when you will put your finger in the face of God and say, you wouldn't save me. Never will come the moment when you will put your finger and say to God, you wouldn't hear me. You know why? You never called on God. You never cried to him for salvation. That's why the man Luke 16 lost it. That's why he's in hell. Not because he was a bad neighbor. Not because he was a big party animal. Not because he drank himself senseless. Just, he's content to live without God, that's all. That's where he died. That's where he is tonight. That's why he'll be there forever. Your only hope is to allow that hand that is stretched forth tonight to save you. Cleanse you of your sin. You trust the man that died on Calvary for your sin. You trust him as your Savior, and the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow and thank thee for thy grace tonight and for salvation. It's a marvel, Lord, that anybody is saved. Not one of us tonight ever deserved it. We thank thee for Salvation's Day and Lucas's life and the lives of a number of others here tonight. And for those that are not saved, we pray, Lord, that they'll speak, that there'll be great searchings of heart tonight, that there will be some that will come to trust the Savior and be saved for all eternity. We ask thy blessing, and thy blessing upon thy word, not what we've said or how we have said it. We pray thy blessing upon thy word in the Savior's name. Amen. Thank you very much for coming, and we give you a hearty welcome to come back any time to hear the gospel preached. It's preached regularly every Sunday night here at 7 o'clock, and special meetings by announcement. We'll sing that hymn that has been referred to already tonight, number 281. 281, John Newton's famous hymn. Max Licato, who a lot of people read, says it is America's national spiritual anthem. When he visited the devastating scene of 9/11 in New York, and as Licato stood there and he surveyed that tremendous devastation as those twin towers went down, he says, and off in the distance, those bagpipes started up Amazing Grace. He says, the tears started to run down my face as I viewed a scene that there's no language I had learned or has ever spoken in this world could ever describe. Yet to think of the grace of God that any of us could be saved. So we'll sing that hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Number 281 in our video is over.
Amazing.